This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jeff Phelps. Buddy over there is Andy Baskin, Dan Menigan, Meredith, rounding out the crew. Amy Trask, CBS Sports, former president of the Raiders, is going to join us coming up at 11:20. And we're going to talk to her about a couple of key things. Tush Push, one of them, is Jim Nantz inspired that conversation.
That's not going to get us sent to HR, is it?
No.
I just want to make sure.
I don't think so.
Okay.
It is an interesting name for it, though.
The Tush Push, what else would you call it?
The quarterback sneak.
The brotherly shove.
Oh, I like the
that's
brotherly.
The best, yeah, that's the best name.
Yeah, that was well
I think
done.
That's really good.
I give those Philly fans issues.
That was clever.
Or not issues, credit for that.
That was good. I'm still trying to figure out why Carlos Santana is on this team and playing first base and Josh Naylor isn't. Are you?
No.
All right, tell me why then.
Well, I love watching Josh Naylor. He was a fun player to watch, right? Like, entertaining and, you know, into the game and a fan favorite.
Spirit.
I get it, but Carlos Santana's rock solid playing defense, and I know no one wants to hear this, but Dan and I were talking about this. What's his wins above replacement here? I know. I'm sorry. You just told me that.
I hate that you asked me that now. Hang on.
Okay, I'm sorry. But when you look at him compared to Naylor...
Way to go, Andy.
He's probably a better first baseman. I mean, your job is to not...
Is he a better hitter? I don't know the answer to that. Last year, he wasn't. I guess the question comes down to, can Josh Naylor repeat what he did last year? And if he does, did that so skew what they knew they'd have to pay him as a free agent that they decided to move a year early and get something for him? Your buddy Slade.
I'm excited about that.
And a pick.
Josh Naylor, and again, it's wins by replacement. You know, it's analytics and all that stuff, so I'm sure a giant chunk are currently going about everything I'm about to say.
It's a long one.
But Josh Naylor, 2.3 wins above replacement last year. Carlos Santana, 3 wins above replacement last year.
Oh, my God. Well, let's get rid of Naylor.
If you use it as the end-all, be-all, Carlos Santana was a better player last year than Josh Naylor.
No, he's 39, too, now, right? I mean, the age difference, I just keep wondering, okay... You're going to bank on the older guy, hope he's good to go. And I like Carlos. I think Carlos is a real good major league
player. Yeah, I mean, of all the, it's hard to get to not like Carlos Santana, right?
No, it's not that. I want to see it play out. Now, we know that, you know, we know when you look at the two of them, you think, all right, one guy's older, the other guy's younger. One guy's in shape, that's the older guy. One guy's not in shape, that's the younger guy.
Yeah.
And I know Chris Antonetti wanted to avoid that, like, you know what, when he was asked about it some time ago. So it wasn't a concern for us. You might have to ask somebody else. Okay, well, that was a great answer by Chris. How could it not be a concern, especially with his injury history? So there are some factors. And I'm not saying it was a mistake to trade Naylor and sign Santana. You spent more money for whatever that's worth. It's not a mistake. I just find it a real curious thing, and it could turn out to be a brilliant move. you know, if Josh Naylor, and heaven forbid, you don't wish this on anybody, you know, pulls a hamstring running down first base and then has a tough time recovering, or, you know, groin injury or oblique, God knows what it could be, Andy.
Yeah.
You know, then obviously it would have been a really good move. And you have Manzardo sitting there. I wonder, are you going to block Kyle Manzardo, or are you going to give him a lot of – is he going to play DH? You know, is he going to get a lot of at-bats against righties? You're going to platoon him and Jonkenzie Noel at DH, which you could.
I it doesn't bother me. Like, I was bummed when they traded Naylor, right? I'm bummed because I think he's a fun guy to watch. He's got great energy. You know, he makes the game interesting.
Yeah.
But I don't have a problem with Carlos Santana. It's like, I can't get real passionate about this move.
I'm not either, but I'm really curious to see how it plays out.
Does it work out plus what, you know, with Carlos Santana, or is it going to be minus? Like, if Naylor has another good year, like he did last year with the Guardians, then, you know, then you're like, okay. I mean, 31 home runs is hard to walk away from, right?
Well, and 100 runs batted in.
Yeah.
But can he stay healthy? Here's what Chris Antonetti said about Carlos Santana.
It's so awesome having him back, and he is all smiles, and so are we. He's such an awesome player with great perspective and can really help us shape some of the young players and their routines and what it means to be a professional and major league player.
I get
Man,
that.
He was in a good mood for this interview, wasn't he?
Sure.
Everything's perfect. Everything's perfect. You know, I got the guys in the office. They're, you know, we're building the new offices on that third baseline right behind. And I got to tell you, the drywall they have put out, it is amazing. And have you seen the spackling? It is spectacular.
These guys covered every nail hole possible.
Oh, I don't even know how
this can be.
And they use like this really cool Romex for the electrical. And I'm just wow,
listen,
this is great. You're
talking electrical.
This is great.
There,
you know.
You're the son of an electrician.
Well, they put all the, you know, all the outlets are in the correct way. They're all ground to the down, or ground to the down. What am I saying? Grounded downwards. Whatever.
Nice job.
Whatever. Yes.
Nice job.
I mean, he is in a great mood. He should be.
Carlos.
They haven't lost the game yet this year.
Carlos turns
right?
39 in April.
They're so first place.
He'll
they're last place, but they're in first place.
Play the season as a 39-year-old. He's bounced around a ton since coming back to the Guardians for a couple of years, Kansas City for two, Seattle for one, Pittsburgh for one, Milwaukee for part of that year in Pittsburgh, and then Minnesota. So he's made that veteran bounce around. You know, you see that a lot. Never driven in 100 runs in his career.
He needs a
That's
T-shirt.
Okay.
He needs the T-shirt, doesn't he? He's got a tour T-shirt.
I would think maybe
he
does.
How hard would it be to find a Carlos Santana tour T-shirt?
I don't think it'd be that
hard. Thank you. Has he been anywhere? This is his third stint with us?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
I forgot about the Phillies for the one.
1 year.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know.
He didn't. He was happy to come back. You know, he's a real good baseball player, Andy. And for that reason, I don't have major hesitations about it. But I'm really, it's just a curiosity thing with me. It's like, you decided that this was the move to make now. Why? I wonder if that will become apparent. You know, does Slade come in and light it up?
I'm laughing because I'm thinking, wow, that Casey Blake trade really is paying dividends with Carlos Santana still here, right?
Still all these years ago, yeah.
Man, that feels like it was in 08 when they traded Casey Blake. In 08, Dodgers traded Santana and John Malone. I forgot about him, too. Did he ever do anything?
Yeah.
For Casey Blake? I don't remember him doing anything.
Filled in for Brother Sam on Cheers.
Yeah. Good job, Jeff. That was well played. Well played. It is interesting, though, that he won a Gold Glove last year.
Well, especially, you know, he was a catcher, right? They moved him to first base, and he becomes a Gold Glove winner? Good for him. That's really impressive. I wonder what you're going to do here with Kyle Manzardo. And I say that because isn't now the time? That's what I wonder. Isn't now the time that you're supposed to do something with Manzardo?
Or is it just this season? Like, is it have to be coming out of spring training? Or is it sometime this year?
It's this season. I would think he's in line for 400 at-bats. No?
Yeah.
He's going to turn 25 this summer. That's old enough. It's old enough. He came back last year and did some things. I would think that if you were high on this guy, and they are, that you're going to give him a lot of at-bats. And I expect to see that happen. We'll see. But the Santana move confused me because, okay, if you're going to move Naylor, I would have thought it was because you're going to put Manzardo at first base and let him play. Might not be the defensive first baseman that Santana is. In fact, he's not. But, okay. Juggle Santana, who's a switch hitter, with Manzardo, with John Kenzie Noel, and Will Brennan, or anybody else who might pop up, Chase DeLauder, hopefully, in right field. And let's see how this works. But there's just a lot of stuff going on there that I think, all right, let's see who falls into place and who falls into a lot of at-bats. I would prefer, and I prefer this because usually it means if this is happening, somebody's doing a really good job. I would prefer that somebody be the main guy at first base, assuming it's going to be Santana. I would prefer somebody be the main guy in right field and prefer somebody be the main DH. That means you got three guys who are really doing the job and contributing rather than, yeah, he's okay against lefties, he's okay against righties, let's do this, he'll get 200 at-bats, this guy will get 250, blah, 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 blah. That, to me, is trying to just keep your fingers crossed that it works.
It is. I'm kind of mad going into the season.
And a who?
Kind of mad. But I was mad going into last season, too. And so that's why I think last year was exciting.
It was awesome.
Because we didn't expect anything.
Such a great, great fun season. And it was a fun team to watch. Josh Naylor had a big part of that, but that's okay. That's all right. They figured they've got a plan. Stick with it. They also, and it's a little too early to look down the road too far, but they have some good young position players who would appear to be on their way. And one of them is a first baseman, Ralphie Velasquez, mm-hmm. who was a catcher, mm-hmm. you know, and was a very high draft choice. So he's a couple of years away, maybe. And then, of course, Travis Bezzana. So your right side of the infield that you traded away is probably going to be replaced sooner rather than later by those two guys, first-round draft choices.
Did you catch the one little story, non-on-the-field stuff, but did you see that the Guardians are going to stream five free training games? Did you catch that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think it's a good idea. I mean, the games aren't going to be, they're not doing any spring training games on TV. Although I'm sure that if you have like MLB package and they play another team that they're playing,
you can pick them up.
You'll be able to pick up the away feed. I would think you'd be able to pick up the away feed on some of the stuff, but they're going to stream five free spring training games. It's a great idea for them. I give them credit on that.
Is it a better idea to just have them on TV and go? That's going to be missing. They've done a lot of preseason games in the past.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
To do the preseason, you think they should be on TV?
Well, if they could.
But if they don't have a deal with the
TV
station.
Right, if they don't,
this is what they need to do. And to be honest with you, if they're trying to get folks, you know, geared up for their new, you know, CLEGuardians.tv site so that you can get all the games there on the web, that or on their app, that this is a good way to get people, you know, kind of give them a free hors d'oeuvre with five free. Because they're free, I think it's a great idea.
I think that's true. Well, Amy Trask, former CEO of the Raiders, does her own podcast. She's been with us numerous times. She's coming back. Can't wait to talk to her about the offseason for the Browns. What would she recommend when it comes to a situation like Myles Garrett? We'll get her thoughts coming up on Baskin and Phelps.
Yo.
Good days.
Yeah.
Are days when we have people like Amy Trask join the show.
That is true.
The
that
former true. CEO of the Raiders is on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. She's with CBS Sports, her podcast, What the Football. She's Amy Trask. Hello, Amy. Good to have
Hi,
you back.
Hi, Amy.
Well, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to join you, even when I'm doing it with a flat tire on my car.
What happened? What's going on?
We're not having a good car day, Amy. You and I both. I got rear-ended this morning.
Oh, no. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm all right. Now I feel bad for you. Now you have a bad tire. I'm like Schlepprock today. I just feel bad will on everybody. Keep going.
But look, before you feel too badly for me, and I just shared this on X and on Blue Sky. Yes, I have a flat tire, but I'm also sitting at the beach looking at the ocean, and it's not 20 degrees here. So if you want to throw a 15-yard flag for taunting, go ahead.
All right, that was Amy Trask. It was great to have her on.
Good
today.
To have you with us, Amy.
Feel free to come here in our miserable weather.
Okay.
Not only do we have a miserable weather, but we have way too much money tied up in a quarterback who can't play, Amy.
That was quite a segue.
We went from
getting rear-ended, having a flat tire, me getting a taunting flag to the Cleveland Browns. Now, a lot of your listeners, maybe all of them, are too young to remember the show I Love Lucy with Lucy Ricardo, Ricky Ricardo. But when you mention the quarterback situation in Cleveland, the first thing that comes to mind is when Ricky would look at Lucy and say, ay, 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 ay.
Yeah, I keep seeing Lucy on the conveyor belt of quarterbacks just trying to figure out which one's the right one. So.
I keep seeing Fred Mertz and thinking, are those the highest pants ever?
I love that you too know those scenes from I Love Lucy. That's quite a situation in Cleveland. And
it's good that he's injured, unfortunately, and can't play. I don't know. What would you do if you're running this thing?
Well, I never, ever, ever, ever have wished an injury on any player.
No, heavens no.
And that goes back to my years in the league. We'd be playing an opposing team, and someone would say, oh, wow, it's great. You know, so-and-so on the opposing team is injured. And I would say, no, 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 stop. You just never wish injury on an athlete. And look, I, of course, understand all of the issues surrounding Deshaun, and I certainly wouldn't have signed him in the first place for many reasons, let alone to that contract. Putting aside the player, that contract is just staggering, and I don't need to tell you guys that. And to make a decision with respect to him involves not only cash consequences, but cap consequences. Maybe he can end up being the quarterback Cleveland believed him to be when they signed him, but he has to come back from the injury and then get back on the field and see if that can happen.
Okay, counselor, this is where I need your help. As someone that, you know, wrote the book, You Negotiate Like a Girl, what can the Browns do with Myles Garrett, who wants to leave town, but yet still has 2 years on his contract, and the Browns are sitting here saying, well, we're not trading you. Help me with this negotiation.
I love that you referenced me as counselor. I mean, this may be my favorite radio show in a million years. You know, you know I love Lucy. You referenced me as counselor.
Yes.
I just love you guys, but don't worry, not in a weird or creepy way. Okay, I will tell you what I would do were I with a team that had Myles Garrett on the roster with years remaining. Given the player he is, I would do absolutely anything and everything I could do to convince him that he wants to stay. Not that he has to stay, but I would try to find ways to convince him that he wants to stay. I would work with him collaboratively. I would address the concerns he has. If I had to, I would pitch a little tent on his front lawn, or if he lives somewhere without a lawn, or I guess lawns don't grow in Cleveland at this time of year. I would pitch a little tent right in front of his home, wherever that home is. I would bring ice cream. I would bring everything I could, and I would say, help us rebuild this team. Help us build this team in the manner you wish it to be, such that you want to stay. Look, I worked for a man, Al Davis, who said to me for decades, the quarterback must go down and he must go down hard. Myles Garrett is an asset to that team. He's a tremendous player. And by the way, the more pressure on the quarterback, the easier it is for the secondary. You got to try to find a way to convince him he wants to stay.
He's under contract. What leverage does that give the Browns? And would you just say, hey, you know, great, you want to be traded. We're not doing that. Can you just flat out do that, Amy?
Well, I wouldn't approach it that way. And yes, of course, I understand he's under contract, and hence my, you know, somewhat humor about I'd pitch a tent in front of his house and bring ice cream. And maybe I'm not really kidding about the ice cream, because ice cream always helps. But what I would do, and by the way, I apologize for being so kind of flibbertigibbety and not speaking as clearly as I always hope to be. But just remember, I do have a flat tire. So grant me that, you know.
Yeah, so you get it.
Look, Can you make him stay? He's under contract. You can say, you know, tough luck, you're under contract, you have to stay. He can then, of course, hold out, and it can go back, and it can go forth. I think the goal should be convincing him he wants to stay and having a clear, direct, communicative relationship with him where you say, look, you're under contract. We know that. You know that. You don't want to be here. You know that. We know that. How do we rebuild together, not only rebuild this relationship we have, but work together to build the Browns in a manner that's going to be such that you want to stay? My goal would be convincing him he wants to be there, not that he has to, although you're right, contractually, he's obligated.
Aim, does anything you said there, though, sound a little bit desperate? I mean, he did sign the contract, and I know we're going back and forth on this, and I know what you said. What Mr. Davis said too, but I like some of that does sound a little bit desperate, and I don't know if there's a part of me that's probably looking and saying, hey, how many first round picks can I get for this guy? Yeah, I mean, you have to have a plan B.
I'm sorry, did you just suggest that having an ice cream party with him was desperate?
No, I think hanging out hanging out on the front lawn. Maybe I'll have the ice cream party with him because I think he'd be good with that. But you know, putting a tent in his front lawn, especially like around Halloween,
yeah,
when he puts up
all the tombstones
for the quarterbacks that he likes to take down, I'd be a little scared on that one too. And I'm like, what am I doing? That's what I would say.
Well, and I understand your point. And if they do decide to trade him, they can garner considerable compensation. But my background in the league is such that, and by the way, it remains that to this day. If you've got a player that is that good, try to find a way to make it work. Because, look, they could get all kinds of draft picks. But the draft isn't a science. There's no enigma code to the draft. You know all the draft picks that don't work out. A proven player of his quality is far, far better, in my view, than acquiring draft picks.
Amy Trask joining us, former CEO of the Raiders. Jim Nance was on your show recently and yes, on your podcast, and he said he's done with the tush-push, the brotherly shove, the rugby play that has become in vogue in the NFL, pick up for sounds. Is there any way they outlaw a play because one team does it really well and most teams have any idea how to stop it and other teams don't do it as well, even though it appears guys aren't getting hurt on that play, Amy?
Well, you hit the point to which I was immediately going to turn. If the play is outlawed, in my view, it should only be outlawed if it is causing additional injury. And there are some who, or stated a little bit more cleanly, if it increases the risk of injury. And, you know, there are times we heard from some of the players on the Eagles after last season that, yeah, it's a rough play. It's hard on the neck. It's hard on the back. You know, when you're on that line and you're pushing, that's a hard play on the body. If the league does outlaw it, I believe it will do so because it perceives or believes or knows there to be an increased risk of injury. I don't think they should outlaw it simply because people find it hard to defend. As the saying goes, if you don't like the play, find a way to stop it. If you don't want the player in the end zone celebrating a touchdown, find a way to keep him out of the end zone.
Yep.
But if there is the possibility of an increased, you know, risk of injury, then I think it will be outlawed.
All right, let's play this one. This is the one thing I want. If they can figure out a way to put a little line on the field for TV to figure out where the first down is.
Is this the chip in the football?
Yeah, why can't we have some kind? I know they tested it last year. Why can't we have an automatic reader for a first down? And even if you want to have people, if you want to keep the folks on the sidelines with the down markers, once you hit the down marker, the circle on top turns green. How hard is that?
Well, now I'm going to channel my father, who is an aerospace engineer. What he would immediately say to you is, it can't just be one chip. So, can they figure out how to do it? Sure, they can figure. I mean, look, we can put people on the moon.
We can
put people in a space station. If we can put people to live in a space station, then we can figure out how to do this. But it would have to be more than one chip, because given the shape of the ball, you don't want there to be a marker, that sort of ding, ding, ding moment if only the right piece of the ball goes across the line. So you'd have to figure it out technologically so that no matter where the ball crosses the line, the chip is activated. Can we figure out how to do that? Sure. As I said, we're putting people in space, and they're living up there. We can figure out how to do this.
Totally agree. Okay, let's get her done.
You would certainly think so. What did you think when you first heard, and this is sometime down the road because the contracts are in place, that Netflix wants a Sunday package of NFL games? In other words, the CBS package or the Fox package. Your reaction was what?
My reaction was, who wouldn't want games on a Sunday or a Monday or a Thursday or a Saturday or any time of week? Football is a draw. People love to watch football. If I ran a network, a streamer, any sort of, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, and please forgive me. Again, I'm going to cite the flat tire for my flibberty-jibbertiness. But any sort of broadcast site, of course you want football. Why wouldn't you want football?
What would that do to the league? Putting something, and let's just say Netflix stays behind a pay window, and they put their product.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
That's the one I wonder about, is that, okay, you're going to take it away from Fox and put it behind a pay window? You're going to take it away from CBS, your longtime partner, and put it behind a pay window?
Well, remember earlier in our conversation you referenced me as counselor?
Yes.
Because I'm about to dive into that legal background and let you know, and we don't have to do a deep dive because I want to sleep. The NFL has a limited antitrust exemption with respect to the broadcast of its games.
Yeah.
And if and to the extent they decide to do things with a paywall, Congress may decide to revisit that limited antitrust exemption. So that is a interesting deep dive conversation. And I don't think we're going to see that for quite a while. Or if we do, the league is going to have to address some issues with respect there, too.
Well, I hope folks show up to help you with your tire sooner rather than later. But then again, you're sitting at the beach, so who really cares?
Amy, you don't need help with your tire. I can't imagine you not being able to. You're all over that.
Okay. First of all, I want to take a moment to apologize to you guys. I don't interrupt when I'm on the radio, and I am just sort of so skittish right now that I've interrupted you both a few times, and I don't like that I did that, and I apologize for doing that. I talked over you, and I hope you forgive me and will have me on again. As to changing my tire, I'm going to admit what I did last time I got a flat tire.
Okay.
I got that little tool thingy out from the trunk, that thingy that you use to change a tire. What do you call it again? I don't remember.
Jack.
I think it's called a jack.
No, it wasn't the jack. It was like the thing you use to unscrew the bolt.
The tire
or
iron.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
That's it. This is so bad of me. I got the tire iron out of the trunk, and I just stood by the tire looking as helpless as I could muster, like the most helpless look I could muster face. And cars just started pulling over. Can we help you? Can we help you? Can we help you? So it was a little bit scheming on my part, and I think I might do that again right now.
That's a great idea.
I respect that.
That's a great idea.
I respect that.
Are you at the beach in where? Malibu? Where are you?
No, I'm down the shore from that. I'm right sort of, by the way, the Pacific Coast Highway in Malibu is still shut from not only our fires, but then the flooding that ensued. So I'm a little bit down the coast from Malibu.
Okay.
Well, we don't have any, our weather's been a little better here then, I guess. I can live with the ice that we have right now.
I guess so.
And do that. And your penalty for talking over us twice means you have to be on with us more often.
Yeah, we like
that. We decided that.
We do it all the time to each other, so it really
doesn't. It's constant, yes.
Thank you, Amy.
Well, I apologize. And thank you. And go have some hot chocolate.
Thank
Good
you.
Good idea. Amy
Goodbye.
Trask, former CEO of the Raiders, her podcast, What the Football. She's terrific. Amy Trask was just with us. And Amy, the former CEO of the Raiders, she's with CBS Sports, has her podcast, What the Football. She just talked about Myles Garrett, and we asked, what do you do? How do you handle this? What do you do with Myles Garrett? How do you do that if you're running a team and you have this situation? And she basically said you do everything you can to make him happy, because Al Davis said you get to the quarterbacks and you get them on the ground, and guys like Myles you don't mess with. I agree. But if you're the Browns, Andy, do you have to try to appease him here?
No.
I don't think so either.
I understand what she's saying, and I don't see it that way. Because I actually think he's not coming back. I don't think he wants to come back. I understand
so you think
that she's
just not going to bother to play.
I don't know. When you start missing paychecks, maybe you change your mind. And I don't know, but I just think he's pretty firm. And I just don't see Miles like saying, oh, I'm done. I don't think this wasn't an impulse buy at the grocery store. He has thought this thing out. And I think that, you know, if he's got to, I don't know, would he take less money to go somewhere else to win a Super Bowl? Like, do you think today, in today's day and age with the NFL, would you, and by the way, the NFLPA would not be happy with him if he did that, if he took less money.
If he were to do that, flat out less money, it wouldn't go over well with the Players Association. You're right. However, he didn't say anything about money. He said it was to go win games and have a chance to win the Super Bowl. If that's truly the issue here, then why wouldn't he take less money? Why wouldn't he? I would think that he would, wouldn't he? If that were the case. But that, I'm not convinced it's all about just going to win a Super Bowl. And that's okay.
Jackson made it sound like they were going to, you know, write. It wasn't that yesterday's story.
Write a blank check almost.
Right, yeah, here you go. What do you want? What can we do for you, huh? What can we do?
But I just think that's a strange circumstance. And I wonder, because he didn't sound like a guy who was looking for money. I can't blame him for looking for money. So I would understand a contract.
I don't think he is. Do you really think he's looking for money? I don't.
No, he sounds like he wants to go to a different place.
I think he
has a better chance to win.
He does not want to work for this front office. I think that's really what this is.
Well, he hasn't
feels like
said
this
that.
Front office. It's Berea. It's not Cleveland. It's not the fans. It's not him
he
living
hates
here.
The city of Berea?
No, it's not the city of Berea. Is that still in Cuyahoga County? I'm not sure.
Who knows what's in Cuyahoga County, Andy?
I don't know. Confused.
Lodi in Cuyahoga County?
No, it's not. That, I believe, is not.
Okay.
Am I correct? Am
a lot
I,
of land saying? Out there.
Yeah. Why, you think they're moving to Lodi?
No.
Okay.
Although gas prices in Lodi are just dirt cheap.
What are you talking about?
You get off 71 at 83, and gas prices are 30 cents a gallon lower than everywhere else. Just so you know.
Why would that be? Because it's close to 76?
I have no idea, but it is.
Because
they have a lot of land. So if Miles wants to go get cheap gas, he can go to Lodi.
Well, he could save some money if he takes a contract somewhere else.
He doesn't seem to want to do that. He seems to want to... When all of his talk at Super Bowl week just sounded like, I want to go win a Super Bowl. I want to go play in meaningful games.
Yeah.
It didn't sound like money.
I just don't. Does anybody see this not ending ugly?
Yes, I do.
The only way this isn't ugly is if the Browns make some kind of a splash. Like, wouldn't this be great if they made some kind of a something that Miles really wanted in the draft, and they made a splash, and Miles is like, okay, all right, I'll stay. Let's see how this thing plays out. I've put enough time in here, and I'm going to hang tight. I just don't see it right now. If they traded for Patrick Mahomes, would he stay? I'm just saying. Not that they can. I'm not talking about cap considerations. I'm not talking about anything. I'm just coming out there with the wildest thought you could possibly have. Would that make him want to stay?
Well, I would think that would pique his curiosity a little bit.
Enough to stay, to change his mind and say, I'm not out of here?
I don't know. Does he think that that's enough to make the difference and make this team a Super Bowl contender? See, that's the thing. What would make this team a Super Bowl contender in his mind? Because that's kind of what he said, right? He didn't say, I don't like working for these people. He said, I want to go have a chance to win games.
I am fully prepared week one, if the Browns are home on week one, to see him sitting in someone's suite at the game. Fully prepared for that. Are you?
No.
I am 100% prepared that he could be sitting in a suite for the first game of the season.
I don't think he'd show. I think he'd stay home.
Well, he's still friends with the guys on the team.
Sure, he's got a great TV.
Maybe. How do you know? Maybe he's got an old black and white.
I'm guessing he does.
Although, I don't know what you could watch on a black and white.
I don't know what you could either, Andy.
But I just thought Amy came off as a little bit desperate. Maybe, I don't think it was the ice cream that would put it over the top. It was the tent. It was the tent in the front yard. I'm not putting a tent in his front yard. I'm not.
I don't think the Browns have to do that. And in this situation, see, here's the difference to me. In this situation, you have a guy who's under contract. and you're paying him really good money, and blah, 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 new contract and all that. The problem is this. You have a guy also under contract who's not contributed hardly anything to this team, hasn't played well, and probably won't play this year, and is in Deshaun Watson with his Achilles injury. And that's crippling your abilities to do a lot of things. And you have another guy who's a really good player. We all think a Hall of Fame talent, as good at his job as anybody else in the league. And he's doing what he's supposed to do, and it's not working for him. And the other guy is getting in the way. The situation is getting in the way. And I just wonder if that's part of it. You know, hey, wait a minute. You went above and beyond for this guy, and you're getting nothing. I'm well paid, yes, but I'm giving you everything I have, and I'm getting nothing except a great big paycheck. I wonder if that, you know, if that situation is part of this, and he just wants out. And I couldn't argue with him on that one.
I just think he's not happy with the front office. I think he thinks they don't know what they're doing, and I think he wants out. I think he was irritated about the Canton line. I think there are little things in there. But
he was really touchy about that.
Yeah.
I honestly thought that line from Andrew Berry was nothing but a compliment. That was nothing but a compliment. That was a nice thing to say. We want him to go from Cleveland to Canton.
Yeah,
With that line? Nothing was wrong with that line.
If you're Miles and your goal, and you've always said my goal is to win a Super Bowl, and there's nothing in between that, and the front office might know that, then maybe he took it as a, or who knows, maybe they've talked about that before, and Miles may have said, hey, I want to win a Super Bowl, I don't care about Canton right now, I don't. You know, it is possible that players care more about winning a Super Bowl than getting into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So maybe there was a little bit more to it than what we saw, but he did seem to be offended by it because
he did.
He took a shot back at the Browns when he said, trade me, please.
The one thing I will say about every player who ever says it's all about winning games, yeah, it is, after you get paid. I mean, let's just be realistic about this. If you're not getting paid and what you think you're worth or not making a good salary, then you have to lock that up. That's what it's all about. And then after you're taken care of financially and you're secure and you have your cash and you have your position in the league, then you can worry about winning. But let's be realistic here. It's about, you know, we know how short NFL careers are. It's about getting paid. And so
unless you're a little bit naive about it, because you got into the game because you wanted to play the game. Money, like, no one starts playing football just because they think they're getting all this money to play the game. You start any game because you want to play it, and maybe you have success playing this game, and you're starting to have fun.
But once you're there,
you know, once you get into the business part of it, when you play and get a little bit older, that all changes. I agree with you, but you know, you need someone to tell you that, I think, because I think there's a lot of, you know, high school kids that just love the game, and they don't care about, you know, that. Do they want to get paid? Yeah, if somebody says, hey, you get free school, and you're in, you're okay, that sounds
good, but I'll take vet minimum forever while you're paying this other guy, $5 million.
I mean, there aren't, at some point they realize they want to get paid, but I think it's a product of your environment, too. Like, your environment is reminding you, hey, you got to get paid, we don't do anything for free, blah, 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 you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, but the reason I think we all get into sports has nothing to do with money.
Are you surprised that all the things have died down a little bit in the talks?
No, I think it's good that if I'm Miles, he needed to stop talking. He was too much. And he could probably tell that fans were starting to turn on him. Stop. We know you want to get traded. Will you at least give the Browns a chance to try to get this right? I think that's what Browns fans are thinking. I could be wrong.
I was surprised how prolonged the I want to get traded talk was, to the point where national people were just talking about, okay, well, where is he going to be, rather than he's under contract to the Browns.
Yeah, I just say he's not happy here. He wants to leave. Like, I get it. He doesn't like the people he's working for. Made that pretty clear. And he wants to find other options. And I understand that. But the problem is he put his pen to paper and said, I want this deal. And when he wanted that deal, he didn't feel that way about the front office. He didn't feel that way about his teammates. You know, Are they the team that they were 2 years ago, or are they the team that they were last year? That's what he's got to figure out.
That's what they have to figure out.
All of them. You're right. And yeah. Us as fans, too.
They all have to figure that out. I just thought it was Amy's background, being the CEO of a team, working for an owner who, you know, is in the Hall of Fame and was a coach. That was a really interesting perspective by Amy. We're going to go to Goodyear, Arizona next. Anthony Castrovince, MLB.com. He's doing the Guardians beat as they're looking for a replacement for Mandy Bell. So Anthony back on what he used to do, along with his normal gig as the big-time senior columnist for MLB.com. Wonder what he thinks about the rotation. If he thinks it's full of question marks, but with potential. We'll ask him next on Baskin and Phelps.